Repentance and faith have been joined together by God, but preachers have put it asunder, and most gospel preaching is only believe, 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 till you have raised a generation of people who are on their way to hell because they never repented. But the fellow who's gone to hell, he knows the only way to escape it is by repenting. So he said, go and tell my brothers to repent, to turn from their sin, not to make the mistake that Eve made, who thought that God is not going to be so strict even if I disobey him, or who thought they know better than God. And then listen to Abraham's final words. If they don't believe the Bible, if they don't listen to what's written in the scriptures, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead and goes and tells them. Imagine if somebody actually, let's suppose it's never going to happen, but let's suppose somebody you knew very well and you saw him dead and you saw him buried and you know where his tomb is. And one day that guy comes back to your house and tells you, hey, do you know that everything written in the Bible is true? And then he disappears. Would you start reading the Bible then? I'll tell you, you will not. Because I believe Abraham. If they don't read the Bible now, they're not going to read it, even if someone who you know rises from the dead and comes back and tells you the Bible is true. I don't need anybody to come back from the dead and tell me the Bible is true. I've read it for 60 years. It has changed my life. It has given an answer to me for every situation I've ever faced in my life, and I'm not exaggerating. I'm not saying it has solved all my earthly problems. No. God allows some problems to exist so that I become a better Christian, and I thank God for that. He doesn't heal me of all my diseases. Even the Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh that he never got healed. It made him a better Christian. So Christianity is not meant to solve all our earthly problems. It's meant to make us like Jesus Christ. Meant to make us the way God wanted man to be. When God made Adam, he had a plan for him. Adam failed him miserably. And then years later, 4,000 years later, God sent Jesus and said to the world, this is the way I wanted man to live. Look at the way Jesus lived. When they called him Beelzebub, prince of devils, he said, forgiven. Do you forgive people who insult you and call you bad names? You're not like Christ. Christ forgave immediately. Even when they killed him, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. The worst possible crime that anybody could commit against another is the crucifixion of Christ, and Jesus forgave them immediately, teaching us that any crime that anybody does against me, I must forgive. Because whatever crime somebody commits against me cannot be worse than the crucifixion of Christ. The greatest sin that man ever committed on this earth, they killed the Son of God. And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So any of you who think that you have an excuse for not forgiving, you haven't understood the scriptures. I read the other day of some, you know, I get hundreds of mails from all over the world through the internet. And one of them said, oh, well, that's in my unconverted days, I didn't forgive some people and all. That's all over. I don't have to talk about it now. What do you mean you don't have to talk about it now? If you haven't forgiven them, you still haven't forgiven them, even after you're converted. Zacchaeus, when he got converted, decided he had to repay all the debts he owed. He can't say, oh, well, those debts were in my unconverted days. It's all blotted out in the blood of Christ. It is not. We may be forgiven something, but we will still reap what we sow. And we are not going to be forgiven if we don't set right the things that we did wrong, which we can set right. Certain things we cannot set right. If I were to ask you this question, what is the last command that Jesus gave to the church in the Bible? The last command that Jesus gave to the church in the Bible. Most Christians, I'd say more than 90%, will say the last command is go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples. Mark 16 and Matthew 28. I say wrong. That was the last command he gave on earth. But the last command he gave to the church in the Bible is after he went to heaven, where he told 5 of the 7 churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, repent, 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 otherwise I'll do this. Repent, otherwise I'll rub out your name from the book of life. Repent, otherwise you'll be hurt by the second death. You'll go to hell. He's writing to churches. Read that. Take some time to read Revelation chapter 2 and 3, where the Lord said to people in the churches, if you don't repent, you'll die of the second death, which is hell. If you don't repent, I'll rub out your name from the book of life, which was there and it's removed. The last command that Jesus gave to the is to repent, to turn from your sin. And that's what people said in hell. Go and tell my brothers to repent. My dear brothers and sisters, that is what we need to do all the time. We begin our Christian life like that, and we need to do it till the end of our life. God is my witness that I repent every day of my life. I can say that before God. I'm not repenting of the same things I did 10, 20 years ago. No. It's like saying I'm not struggling with the same arithmetic problems I struggled with in second grade or third grade. No, no, no. I've learned all that, but mathematics is a subject where you keep on struggling, learning new things. And so sin is also like that. Why do we need to repent every day? I'll tell you. Because the Bible says that the goal of our salvation, God's purpose, is to make me 100% like Jesus Christ. Romans 8:29, if you want to know the verse. He predetermined that I should become like Christ one day, and you also. That is the goal towards which it says, let us run the race looking unto Jesus. And until I reach that goal, can I say that I become like Christ today? No. And if there's some area in my life where I've not become like Christ, I have to repent there. As God shows it to me. God shows me, hey, this area, I know in many areas you've already become Christ-like, but in this area you've not. And there's a whole lot you've not become Christ-like. Then I need to repent. And that I'll tell you when I'll stop repenting. When I have become 100% like Christ. And that will happen only when He comes again. I'll tell you this, I will never repent in heaven. I will never repent after Jesus comes back, because the moment He comes back, I will be like Him. Then I don't repent. But if I'm not repenting until that day, it shows that I'm not making progress in my Christian life. I'm assuming that who are the ones who don't repent every day? Those who feel, oh, I'm already like Christ. I don't need to repent about anything, really. Don't fool yourself, my brother, sister. So repentance is not something just for the beginning of our Christian life. It is throughout our Christian life. Repentance is the indication that you're running the race and progressing. The Bible says the Christian life is like a race. We start when we are really born again, repentance and faith, and then we progress. How do we progress? By constant repentance and faith. Lord, I turn. Oh, You showed me something more in my life where I was selfish. And Lord, You showed me something more in my life where I was proud. I spoke in an arrogant way to that person. I gossiped about that other person. That was not an act of love. Would you gossip against your own children? Would you, supposing you see some defect in your children, let me assume, supposing you see some defect in your children, would you go around telling all your neighbors and all, hey, you know how this child of mine behaves? Will you tell everybody in the church, do you know how this child of mine behaves? Never! You know why? Because you love your children. But that other guy you gossip about, you don't care for him. But the Bible says you've got to love your neighbor as yourself. I'm giving you an example of such obvious things we have to repent of. And leave alone the more subtle things where I have to repent of my motive in doing something good. For example, you do something good. And you realize that you did that so that you get some honor from others. That they will appreciate you. Oh, what a wonderful Christian he is. Oh, what a wonderful, gracious Christian she is. And you don't repent of that. I'll tell you, I've had to repent many times of the good that I did. And afterwards, I sought some honor for it in my heart. not publicly, in my heart, oh, I hated myself. I said, Lord, I'm such an evil person that in doing good, I'm seeking honor for myself instead of doing everything for the glory of Christ. These are the subtle things, or some way I did something and the whole thing was with a selfish motive. Or I said something and it was utter selfishness, the way I said it and what I said. I just want to say that there's a lot of scope for repentance in our life. So let's meditate on that a little, and then it'll go better and better.